Hey everyone, on today's episode, you're going to hear a three-part series that we recorded at the Tournament of Champions with Steve Burkholder and Rick Stretch, our analysts on the live stream. You're listening to the UKC Hunting Ops Podcast, celebrating hunting dog heritage, competition, and community. United Kennel Club has been the hunting dog sports home for coonhounds, beagles, retrievers, pointers, cur, feist, and more for over 125 years.
This podcast is fueled by Yukonuba, the official performance dog nutrition partner of UKC.
Well, hey, everybody. This is Alan Gingrich, Director of Hunting Ops, and today I'm joined by Trevor Wade, our Coonhound Programs Manager. How are you, Trevor?
Hey, I'm doing well. Still recovering from this past weekend, but I'm excited.
Yeah, talking about the Tournament of Champions here. So last week, in last week's episode, we kind of covered the winners, and we talked about some of our partners, the judges, the guides, and all this and that, and kind of an overview of the event. So this week, we also did some other recordings at the Tournament of Champions, and one that I did was I sat down with Steve Burkholder and Rick Stretch, who are color commentators, analysts, if you will, on our live stream show. So each day after Thursday's draw, I got them on the podcast. We kind of sat down and got their perspective and did that Friday, the same thing, and then Saturday as well. But they do such a great job for us.
Yeah, they're two knowledgeable guys. But one thing I like about them is they're able to keep it light, and you don't get just bogged down listening to them. They keep the conversations light, and they're fun to talk to and fun to listen to, and I'm sure you got some good content from them.
Hey, both of them have been there, done a lot of hunting throughout the years and for a long time, and they've been on the big stages, and the one thing you can get from them is they know how the hunters feel and what they're looking at and their perspective on, you know, strategies and things like that during a cast, you know, and based on the situation at hand. But nevertheless, that's not what this one is about. What I really wanted to get their perspective on is just their overall thoughts at the end of each day, basically. So the first one, I can tell you, Thursday, I got up to they're sitting there when I had to go grab some notes, and they're sitting there at the table, and they're just yakking away already. They're talking about Elijah Hamilton, I think one of the youngest hunters that was there, and I just hit the record button. So our first series here on Thursday is going to start. You're just going to hear them in conversation and here we go.
You know, 16 years old, traveled 9.5, 10 hours to get here by himself, hunting a dog that he's started, maybe trained by himself, and that was a story to be told.
Absolutely, you know, and the crazy part about that whole thing is he tells us right at the very end. He says, you know, he said, this dog's for sale. So he said, depending on what happens this weekend, he may not be going back home with me if Dad decides to sell him.
If he shows off, then they may not take him home.
They may not take him home. So I thought that was kind of interesting hearing that. But, you know, it brought back just listening to him share with us and how much he hunts and stuff really did bring back our youth, you know, or my youth when I hunted and that kind of thing. And
we're jealous. We're jealous. We are bad jealous. I am. I look at them young guys out there, and then, you know, Elijah's probably the youngest one competing this weekend, and I think, good Lord, you know, it seems like 100 years ago that's where we were.
I know, and drew a tough cast, and I watched when he come up, and they drew their cast and walked out, and, I mean, you know, some people you can see they're nervous, but he walked up there just like,
yeah, he was calm and cool.
Yeah,
and that's what's going to win for him. If he wins tonight, it'll be his calm and cool. And he mentioned that his dog was minus free most times.
Yeah,
and so that's going to be a good combination right there.
It will be.
It struck me as he said that Wes didn't really care for the dog that he's got.
Doesn't like him, he said.
Yeah, doesn't like him, and here he is, and Wes is sitting at home on the couch. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys are talking about Elijah Hamilton, Wes Hamilton's boy, right?
Yeah. That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah, drove all the way, what, from Nebraska?
Nebraska.
To here.
Sounded to me like he didn't know what road he took. He said it was Highway 36.
36? He brought 36 over instead of 70 across. I don't know where they live.
And said he left yesterday afternoon and got here sometime after midnight
2
last night.
2 a.m. last
staying
night.
With Wyatt moaning, so.
His dad didn't write the directions down for him, apparently.
Well, who knows?
I told him to Google it, probably.
Yeah, follow your phone. But as he got out here, he got about halfway out here, and Wes realized that he's not going to be able to rent a motel room for himself.
Not old enough.
He's not old enough, so he turned that over to Wyatt Monin, and he couldn't turn it over to anybody with any more experience around here than Wyatt. This is his third time
here.
Well,
Wyatt sleeps in his truck most of the time.
I didn't know that.
At least one night.
I didn't know that.
Talking of Wyatt Monin, Elijah had mentioned to Wyatt that, Wyatt had mentioned to Elijah that he felt this was probably I think this is his third time here,
He's one of two to be here three times.
Three times, and he felt like He felt like, Wyatt felt like this is probably the toughest field that we've had here to date. Now, I tell you, just looking over the field of dogs we have here, there's certainly a bunch of good ones. I would say this is probably the toughest crowd to pick really a winner out of. I mean, there's so many of them here that could win this thing.
Yeah. Well, hey, for our listeners here, you're hearing Steve Burkholder and Rick Stretch here in the background, and they're started talking about, when I hit the recorder, they're talking about Elijah Carr. Hamilton. Have we figured out he's the youngest hunter that's here? 16 years old.
He is the youngest. Yeah. I think the next one up from him is 18, I believe.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There's a couple of young boys here hunting dogs, but yeah.
Well, you know, that TOC always seems to draw that every
There's
year.
Always that one or whatever this year. Yeah. Like, hey, you always got to root for those guys.
I like to root for the old ones and the young ones.
Yeah,
and
the old ones too. You know, Ed Bates is here again with Scott. They're the third time. Yeah. We talked about Hawk. They're Dixie dog. Yeah. They're the other. There's two of them here. That made it three out of the 4 years, two dogs, and that's Hawk and Dixie. You're talking about Ed Bates.
Yeah.
Scott Bates and Hanlon,
their dog. Yep. I think their partner's on her.
Yep, yep.
They come out of the Mount Gilead zone up there. They go up there every year.
Yeah.
That's impressive, really. Yeah. If you think about it, we've been at this hunt now every year.
Yeah.
And to make it here three times in a row, you know, that's because so much can happen on a zone level. Yeah. You know, if you don't win your cast on Friday night, you got to – you know, everything has got to go perfect for you on Saturday night, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, to do that 3 years in a row, that's impressive.
Yeah. I think the cutoff there, and I'll just talk about Mount Gilead because that's one of was at, but the cutoff there this year, I believe, was 800 plus. And I want to say last year it was 575.
I think it was
550 or 575 last year.
You also had more double cast winners. They did everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right about it. This field here seems to be a tad bit stronger than any other field that we've had here.
And not taking anything away from the mother field. It's just, you know, sometimes you have them weekends where just everything, you know, the guides are doing their job.
Yeah.
The game is working.
I think for us up there in Ohio, I think the weekend that we had it on was a weekend that all the coons were out scrambling around trying to feed. And we saw it in every direction from the club. That there was a lot of coons scored.
Well, you know, Walker days, talking of that, Rick, that's a really good point. Walker days, I remember, you know, there was years where the scores at Walker days was just, you just try to wrap your mind around that it could actually happen was almost unfathomable. But it seemed like that weekend, which is close to usually one of these weekends, that it was just, you have a weak stretch there when you live in the Midwest, like Indiana, Ohio, and that kind of thing, where it just seems like, and Alan, you're from Michigan, you can recall from this too, where you could hunt that stretch of that week long, and it just didn't matter where you turned loose at, what time of the night it was, you was just going to tree game. And it happened fast, quick, and furious. You know, when people try to wrap their mind around how you could tree, you know, 20 coon in a night, it was hard for them to fathom that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen it happen multiple times. And people, until you actually get to experience that,
yeah, well,
it's hard to fathom that.
A good example, when you say that, it was before I worked at UKC. I was guiding at Walker Days there at Columbia City, and we had a good hunt. But it's like one of those, about the time the hunt ended, the coons were just moving like crazy. On the way back from where I hunted south of town back to Columbia City Fairgrounds, we counted 20 raccoons we saw crossing the road. Just everywhere. You know, it's like they're just, it's like almost like a zoo, and it's not always like that, but it's, you know, you can have those kind of nights.
If you're at one of the major events where you've got a 5 a.m. deadline, and you're able to, not that any of the master hounds want us to ever do it, but we're guilty of it. If you're able to wait that time out, like you say, if you were to turn loose at that time, look at your score. You know, if you'd had a good dog in a cast or a couple, you'd have a phenomenal score. I was on a couple of those casts. one particular as a spectator at Walker Days, and most people, you're right, Steve, wouldn't believe it, how quick it can happen for you. And everything has to happen just right, but it can happen quick for you, and you're in and out of the woods and on to the next one. This hunt here is not quite set up that way. I think we spend more time in one woods with this hunt at the zones than regionals, than what you would at trying to win Walker Days. But it's very similar. And up there in Ohio this year, 1350, I think, was our high score, and it was on Friday night. And it seemed like the scores overall were a little bit better on Saturday night, even though we didn't have one reach that point, I don't think.
Yeah.
Right. So your thoughts on this Thursday night deal? You know, one of the things I'm going to bring up is it has been raining. It started raining Wednesday night, rained all night.
Yeah.
That's one of the differences. We've not had that since we've been here four times now. We've had good weather every year except this year. And, you know, a couple days ago, looked at the radar and like, it's going to be a monsoon on Thursday. So, you know, we have the back deck of this nice place here at Three Fat Labs. And really that, there's a lot of atmosphere and good vibes happening back there that on the outside in the back that we didn't have today. That was probably the biggest thing for me. And I think it took away a little bit.
Yeah, Trevor had brought me down, I think, about 24 hats. I was headed to West Virginia, I believe it was, to the youth.
You had the guys sign them, yeah.
And I had all the folks that would sign a hat that were entered in the hunt. I had some hats that had 10, 12, 15 signatures on it, and we were back there on that back patio. It was probably mid-60s that day, sun shining down on us. It was just beautiful, and it's been like that every time.
Spectators up on the balcony watching everybody, all the dogs come through.
We're all out there. There's probably nobody in here, and they're all out there.
Yeah.
And when I left the house last night from Mount Gilead at 5 o'clock and I pulled in here about 10, I had never turned my windshield wipers off. Yeah. Never turned them off. Yeah. And sometimes they were on high and most of the time on low, but I felt it. And then I rode up the river road today, the gravel road today, the long way around.
Mm-hmm.
And that river is right to the top of the bank.
It wants to cross.
And it's ready to come across. And I won't be surprised if they don't lose a foot or two of that road in a couple places here the next day or two.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a little different scenario out there.
So we had to set it up a little bit for checking in and everything, you know, kind of, you know, plan for the rain, you know. The other thing, we had to put some tents out here on the walkway coming in. One of the things I always kind of liked is you get from the parking lot, you kind of have a downslope walk down to the barn, you know, and it just gives it a little bit different feel. So it took away from that a little bit.
All of us will remember Joe Manning coming down the sidewalk.
High-fiving
everybody. I believe it was last year.
Man, we need a whole lot more of that in this sport.
Yeah. I know.
I'll tell you, I'm just talking.
There's a lot of good, but that you're right. I save that photo, and I will use that photo a lot.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, awesome. Joe, but that photo belongs to me. We took it.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But I'll tell you, and this is a really true testament to the Greencastle Club putting this hunt on here and Three Fat Labs. This venue here, for anybody that hasn't ever been here, this is one of them. We talk about different iconic hunts that happen throughout the year, and obviously the TOC is special to a lot of us. But this venue has been a huge part of why the TOC is special. I've heard it many times through a lot of people that maybe it's their second or third time here. We was talking about dogs that was here, but there's several people here that are either handling a dog or owner of a dog that they've been here all 4 years. And, you know, they're drawn to this event because of it's just special.
Prestige.
It's the prestige.
The location.
In this venue, I mean, for those that have never been here, it'd be worth your time just to drive down here and spend a Thursday at one of these events here, because it's just, there's something about it. You know, it's ups a person's game, really. I mean, it's just something different about it that makes it special, for sure. And, you know, I know, going back to the weather, this evening, going toward evening, it didn't seem to be raining as hard. So the wind hasn't really picked up like we kind of thought it would. So, you know, I think a lot of hunters talking to them tonight, the rain is not as much what bothers them. Is a wind. If the wind can stay laid down, that'd be huge, because we've all been hunting in these hunts long enough to know that if it kind of gets windy, And dogs, the way they split up nowadays, that can really play a, you know, a bearing point on what happens in the cast. So.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. You know, it's not quite what they were predicting yesterday or the last couple of days, you know, and you're right. And the wind is not, because they were calling for 30-mile-an-hour winds at one time. But
I'm just glad
and the rain,
phone.
I think it's, yeah.
Yeah, and we've got wind all day tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you how much. It doesn't show that part. But we've also got a 40% chance of rain on average all throughout the night tonight.
Yeah. And I think start picking back up maybe around 1 o'clock is the last that I saw. But I think we kind of got lucky, and I was afraid it was going to be a monsoon here for a while tonight. But, yeah.
They were set up for it. I mean, whenever I pulled in the parking lot today, there was flagmen flagging you which way to go. And they were making sure that they kept us on the gravel and taking care of their grounds. And that was the first thing I noticed when I come in. I thought, well, we're all going to be guided around here to where everything's going to be just right for us.
Yeah, you know, talking about the host club here with the guide situation and everything, they're sending a few casts a little further tonight than we have before. They're sending some up to Marshall or over to Marshall. But I think in the whole, we heard their plan for it and everything. I think they did a great job of planning. We only have one round on Thursday, so that's the way to do it. We have the time to send them out a little bit and plan for Friday as well. That's good for everybody. Yeah. They're looking out for Friday, not just using up every close spot that they have. They're thinking ahead. You know, and that's the way to put on a good event.
Absolutely. Think ahead. And from a hunter's perspective, I don't mind driving an hour to good hunting.
I've never
complained about that. Well, hunter. Did.
That's exactly the one thing that Doug Cundiff had mentioned when he said we can get them all out here, but we can get them in better hunting if we send them out a little bit further.
And who
that's
don't want
exactly
that,
what he said.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, who doesn't want that?
And honestly, for me, a lot of times when I drove an hour to go hunting, it was actually better for me as a hunter because it gave me a chance to kind of settle down a little bit and just kind of relax and get to ready, you know, kind of get that mindset, and, you know, versus driving 10 or 15 minutes up the road and you know, bang, here we go. So
I never cared about how far I drew because I always knew that it could be a problem for a club. And now working with the Mount Gilead Club for the past 10 or so years that I've been working up there with them guys, it can be a problem whenever you've got an overwhelming group of folks wanting to hunt and the weather has kind of given you a little turn for the worse. And so I think most guys get it. I think most of them get it. Everybody, you know, it's a luck of the draw if we got to go to Marshall or not. And it's not, it can't be more than 50 minutes away maybe or something like that to Marshall.
It's right at an hour. Yeah.
So if they're hunting an hour away, good Lord, that's nothing.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
You drove 10 hours to get here. Another hour's not going to kill you.
Yeah. So, hey, let's talk about the live stream for a little bit. You guys, we made a couple changes here. We're instead of Thursday night doing a live stream Thursday night, we are now running two rounds on Friday. So we should have hopefully 24 cast winners come in from round one Thursday. Being in tonight's hunt, they'll hunt in six casts early Friday. Those six cast winners will come in and go be redrawn and go out in three heads-up casts, two dog casts, in other words. So the live stream will start Friday night, and it'll be maybe a three-hour live stream Friday night. And that'll only leave three dogs for Saturday night. And in the past, we've always had two rounds on Saturday. And we had a marathon of a live stream. So what are you guys' thoughts on that change here as far as from your perspective as commentators?
Well, I think that I like it in the fact that it'll be, you know, for those that want to tune into it or are going to tune into it, it's going to be fast and furious. We'll be able to cover a lot of ground. And we're still going to be able to cover a lot of the, you know, what I like about it, we'll still be able to cover a lot of the 24 winners from
–
from Thursday night.
They'll be on those six casts.
They'll be on them six casts. Yeah, right. So we're going to be able to cover a lot of them winners anyway. So I think it's certainly something that we've always tried to do. In what I love about what we're doing is we're always trying to figure out ways to make it better, make it, you know, something that everybody would want to tune into. And I think what you're going to see, what we're excited about, I think what you're going to see is you're going to see 2 or 3 hours of some pretty awesome coverage. Of things that you know are going to happen there, and it'll bring it a little bit more for maybe the viewer that doesn't want to that doesn't tune into it as much, it'll make a little bit more, it'd be a little more exciting for them, because they'll be able to see a lot more faster, quick action. Whereas in years past, with doing it on Thursday night, it was a little bit different. I don't know, Rick, your thoughts? I mean, I like it. I think it's a great idea.
Alan used the key word there. That's correct. It was a marathon. It's always been a marathon. Yeah. And I think that this is going to be a little more a slower paced, possibly a little bit shorter amount of time. I think it's going to be a good change. I think it'll be fine. And those that were kind of looking forward to seeing things talked about on Thursday, we're going to be talking about them early Friday, you know, early in the pod, in the live stream. And so nobody's going to miss anything. We're going to talk about it all. But I feel like it's a good change. At first, I'm one of those guys not so much all for the change. But once I started figuring out where everybody's coming from on this, I think we made a better change. I think it's going to work out fine.
Yeah. Hey, I had Clayton Stark sitting close by here. I just invited him over here to the microphone. How are you doing, Clayton?
Good. How are you?
Good. How many times have you been here at the TOC?
Every year but the first year.
First year you weren't here. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So what's your perspective? You're Clayton Stark from Stark Out. Clayton Stark from Stark Outdoors. What's your perspective here? It's a little, weather's different this year, but what are your thoughts on this first night?
Every year that I've been here, the weather's been perfect, which is remarkable for this area this time of year. You usually don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
It could snow or it could rain, but every year up to this, it's been sunny and gorgeous. And this, I mean, it's the temperature is fine. It's not bad, but you're going to have to deal with water tonight. That's for sure.
Hey, one thing about this hunt, you can feel the anticipation, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's different things. There's a good vibe. There's good vibes here, good atmosphere, but you can also feel,
well,
I wouldn't call it tension at all. That's not what we wanted, but I think anticipation is a good word.
Yeah.
Confidence. So. I've seen more people confident that they're going to win this thing this weekend than I've ever seen here coming years. And talking to them, in their minds, it's going to take a bad beat or a bad break for them to get knocked out of this hunt.
Yeah.
And, you know, and hey, there's a lot of dogs here, and we'll get a little bit more into this discussion tomorrow night, but there's a lot of dogs here that have been on a roll lately, winning at several different events at several different venues. And, you know, I watching the draw tonight, and I'm sure we'll discuss this more tomorrow night, a lot of these dogs stayed away from each other, which is really remarkable, because that normally doesn't happen. Normally on Thursday, it just happens, you know, because it's the luck of the draw. Normally on Thursday night, what you'll see is you'll see four or five good dogs taken out of this hunt because they simply just draw each other. And there's a lot of these dogs that have been on a roll that have died, and watching the cash draws tonight, you know, 10 or 12 that in my mind I had picked that could probably win this thing, none of them drew each other. So, you know, it's going to be kind of interesting to see on that side of it.
Yeah. Hey, Clayton, I know you've been, you're outdoor, or what do you call your YouTube? You've got your own
my social media stuff,
YouTube stuff, and you get a lot of traction on that.
Yeah,
it's doing very well, and you're getting. There's a lot of guys that you've met a lot of guys in the last couple of years in the sport or whatever, and some pretty big name guys, and so I'm sure you see a lot of those here.
Yeah,
guys that you know.
Yeah, one thing I like about this is I've met so many different people over the last few years. It's really humbling, and it makes me feel good because there's probably not too many people that have gotten to hunt with all these people. Like, you might draw them at a hunt and stuff.
Yeah.
For in a span of 2 years, I've hunted with so many young people through people that have been doing it their whole life that have been top names or just regular people. It's it's nice coming here because almost all those people end up here. So then you kind of just get to go and get together with everyone that – you said earlier, heard you saying that you see a lot of these same people here, and it's a nice atmosphere. There's people bring their family here, and it's a great venue for it.
Yeah, well, the one thing that I see it again probably tonight more than ever, but there's a lot of the big names, but the one thing I still love about this event is that anybody can afford to participate.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Get your five cast wins. It doesn't matter if you're if it's going to take you all year, get your five cast wins and $100 entry fee and make it through the regional qualifiers. And you're here in the finals and you see a lot of those guys here too. And I love that mixture and that diversity here. And,
I didn't glance around when you did a show of hands on the first.
There was a bunch of them.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of them. Rick, let's just quickly some final thoughts here quickly, and we'll wrap it up.
Another great event. I think that we've got the cream of the crop here, and I think we'll see it rise this year. To pick a winner out of this group, my gosh, is like Steve said, there's 10 or 12 of them that come to mind. But this event could afford to have a younger or newer name to win, and I think this is the year for it. I think we'll see the big timers win the first round, and then we're going to see some new blood advance. I'm excited for that.
Rick kind of stole my thunder. So I'm going to have to kind of go against the grain, because I was going to say that I really believe, you know, if you think about it, the last 3 years, not taking anything away from Butch winning it and McGregor winning it and then obviously Hobo. But you know, them was with very seasoned handlers. You know, these guys have been in the winner's circle and stuff like that. But we know, because of the way this format is, that there's going to be a year where there's going to be a dark horse that's going to win this hunt. Yep. It's inevitable. And why is that for? Because it's just the way the hunts are set up. And even a dark horse, what we would consider a dark horse, these guys, we live in an era now where these guys have figured out how to get their stuff ready for these hunts. And a lot of these dogs have come out of tough regions. And yeah, we call them a dark horse because they are, but they got through the regions, which is probably a little tougher than to win this deal, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't, but again, I go back to this. And we'll talk on set a little bit more. But I have three dogs picked that I really believe are going to be in the final three if they stay away from each other. So we'll see what happens.
Kind of just go off what we've been talking about. What I find really special about this event is the fact that you said anyone can win it, and having 1,400 dogs qualified for it. To me, that would, if you could win a hunt that there's that many dogs hunting in it, like, how could you not be more proud of that than anything? Because if your dog technically rose to the top out of that many dogs, like, what does that say about your dog?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you can just win your cast in advance on a night like tonight, where everyone's going to have to deal with water. It's not going to be good conditions necessarily for everyone, but just get through, win your cast, and that's all you have to do, just win your cast. And it's anyone can do it. That's what I love about this event.
Yeah.
That, well, and everything is they give them three checks out at the end of this hunt, and they have a comma behind two numbers. That, there's a little special too.
That'll make
your socks roll up and down your leg a time or two by themselves.
Yeah. Well, hey, we're here at the Three Fat Labs Thursday night, round one. So that's our perspective on this first night. We're going to meet here again, same time, same station, Friday night, and then we'll do the same thing Saturday. So we'll wrap it up for tonight, and we'll be back tomorrow night. So yeah, there you have their thoughts on, and everybody's thoughts. As a matter of fact, Clayton Stark with Stark Outdoors, he also had his podcast set up there. So I actually pulled him in as well towards the end of our discussions there, and I had an extra mic there, and he sat down and he kind of gave a little input as well. So there you heard Clayton as well. So, but here coming up here, we're going to go right into Friday night's perspective after Friday. So here's the three of us again. Well, here we are again, fellas. Friday night. Now we've had another day here at the TOC. Start with you, Steve.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of surprising after last night. We knew the rain was coming in. We talked about the weather conditions, but I tell you what, it's judging by the scores and a lot of the competitive casts, it was the weather sure didn't seem like it was near as much in effect last night as what we thought it was going
to
be.
It didn't seem to hurt them a bit, not any. They scored on a lot of coons, and I think we got the facts here a little bit later on, but man, they scored on a lot of coons. As I was traveling out back to the motel last night, there was all kind of game. I didn't see any coons traveling back to town, but there was all kind of game up and down that river road that I took back to town.
Right. And you know, the wind was kind of had been up a little bit. We thought that may be a factor. It was actually windier this afternoon than it was last night, but from judging just by kind of what we're seeing, it should lay down. The wind's supposed to lay down around 8 tonight. So yeah. I don't know if the scores will be as good tonight because, and obviously I'm sure we'll discuss this. The way the cast drew out tonight, there's a lot of very, very competitive casts. And,
yeah, you know, we didn't open the barn. We said 3 o'clock. I had to come out here at 1 o'clock to set up for our entertainment. Guy came in here, Orzo Miller. He did a fine job.
Oh, he did an excellent job tonight.
Orzo Miller is a coon hunter, too, from Illinois. He was actually had a dog in it last year.
He won the first round last year.
He did. He did. He made it to this round. Matter of fact, last year, we could hear a dog treeing and out across the driveway, across the parking lot over there. And we had a bunch of our staff out there just listening. This dog sounded good.
For a long time.
We thought, you know, to begin with, is like, hey, we're going to see them. We'll probably see lights coming soon, you know, and this is cool. Dog sounded great. And, you know, it got to be a half hour and still nothing. After 45 minutes, I'm like, you know what? They can't hear this dog.
Yeah.
This dog's out of pocket. Sure enough, and it was Orzo's dog. And he was. He never could hear him. He knew because of his telemetry system. But Orzo was here playing music. He plays some country music. And he's got a bag full of jokes. That some of he can't use all of them, you know.
But, he tried, but
he tried a couple.
He caught himself.
Yeah. Hey, I tell you, I actually had the pleasure of hunting with Orzo for a couple of years. We was doing concrete in a coal mine over there, and me, him, and Shane Groves had many nights that we hunted. And I can tell you, the people just got a little bit of a glimpse of what it was for days over there. Or nights that we hunted over there, and it was certainly there's a lot of people here, and I think for the most part everybody enjoyed.
Yeah, I grew up. We grew up together. He probably didn't live probably about 45, 50 minutes from us, and he was always over at our club, and he was a barrel of laughs at the club, just like he was here this week today. But our time together goes back a long ways.
Yeah, I was glad we could get him. It's kind of short notice to get him over here, but he could make it.
You know, Alan's not saying this, but we even got him to get the guitar out and play 3 or 4 songs. And I tell you, it brought back a lot of memories from going to hunts years ago and that side of it. So it certainly was a lot of fun for about an hour and a half tonight listening to them both sing and play guitar. And you know, I think that's you know, as time progresses, it's good to have that kind of stuff for what we do here. I know it was enjoyed by all.
Yeah,
for sure
was.
Yeah, and you know, we opened the barn at 3 o'clock. The hunters came in, and about 5 o'clock, we wanted them here from 5 to 7, basically all 24. That's what we're down to tonight on this night.
And we
fed
them again.
Another
good meal.
Yeah, but you know, this catering place, they do a good job.
But then, so from 5 to 6:30 is when Orzo played. And yeah, I enjoyed. I did a couple songs with him. I'd never played with him or anything, but that was fun.
Oh,
yeah. But as far as the overall day, you guys have been in situations like this. You've won your first round now, and, you know, as the rounds progress, you know, the money gets higher and this and that. You get deeper into this final here. How are these guys feeling when they come in here? I know there's probably, it depends on the person probably a little bit. And we try to create an atmosphere that's kind of relaxing at least for a while. Does that help? Or how are these guys feeling on this night?
I think they were probably relaxed while we had the entertainment going on and a lot of camaraderie going on, a lot of fellowship around each table. But you mentioned it, Alan, when we were doing the draw out, you could hear a pin drop. And that's nerves.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's nerves.
No, I'm telling
you. They're all sitting out there, and you've got it on the big screen TV there, and you're showing them, you know, as each guy draws their cast, it shoots up on the big screen. And they start wondering, well, now I want to dodge this guy. I don't want to hunt with this guy. And as a matter of fact, one of the guys come up there, and I was chatting with him kind of low there and whispering around a little bit. And he said, man, I'm glad I dodged this bullet and glad I dodged that bullet. And he said, I don't want to see them till the finals if I get that far. And so when you made that comment, the reason it was quiet is everybody was nervous about who are we going to draw and what's going to happen when we get out there.
And it's a tough field.
Oh, well, my gosh.
I heard a lot of the competitors tonight share, and there's some guys here, y'all, that, you know, our top win. I mean, we got some of the top handlers, all-time handlers ever in the history of this sport from all registries here tonight. I mean, if you really think about it, you know, and not to throw names out there, but, you know, I mean, we can just share this. I mean, you obviously have Dustin Weed. I mean, what he's won in the last 10, 15 years is incredible. You know, right. I mean, if you really think about it with multiple dogs, You got John Strickland, who's been an icon in this sport for a lot of years, owner, handler, that kind of thing. You obviously got Sean Burden, you know, who's been at this for a long time. And many others.
You got Darrell and Carmack right there. Yeah, 100%. You know, they're hunting the Grand National Champion. Yeah. And it's loaded down with quality.
And we're and not to let anybody out. I mean, there's a lot of other ones too. But
hey, one name I want to throw in while you're talking about this. You this morning at breakfast, you mentioned Jack Bingham always gets past
every time.
I don't know how many times he's been to this round. It seems like every year. Has he ever got this far?
I don't. He won the first round last year. He beat us. The first round last year, and with a Redbone female, I believe.
I think you're right.
Bugs.
Somebody else hunted Jersey Girl last year.
Yeah, he was hunting bugs.
He was hunting bugs.
Is that right? Yeah, he's Mr. Consistent when he shows up here. Wyatt Monin.
Yeah.
Wyatt Monin. Is this three times now?
Not just that this hunt he shows up. I mean, he was a Final Four contestant here just a few years ago in the world. You know, so. Yeah. You know, these dogs are, I mean, they are, I mean, just looking through the top 24, and I heard this from a lot of the competitors, from some of these guys of the sport, saying that this may be the all-time toughest 24 of any hunt that they've actually competed against straight across the board from beginning to the end.
Well, I was going to ask you, Steve, I know both of you walked around and talked to a bunch of them, and this 2 hours window here, and that's all part of it, too, give you guys a chance to talk to them and get more information and everything. But did you, in talking to some of the guys, can you sense nerves on some of them when you talk to them, or not really? Not yet.
Well, you know, I'll say it again. This weekend was just different. There was just a different aura here. And I think it's, you know, we're the fourth year in the TOC. I think guys are coming here. They kind of know how the format works now. You know, they've settled into, they know what it takes to win this thing, or, you know, even though they haven't won it, they know it's going to take a little luck. I mean, we all know you can have a really good dog, but it takes a little bit of luck. But there's a lot of nervousness, but it's almost like it's more calm. I think that they, you know, these guys have been here on this stage before, and, you know, I think all of them feel like they're winners to get this far. And when they look at the field, I think they understand that there's only going to be 6 winners that come out of this next round. And that means that, you know, that obviously math tells you that 18 are going to go home. Mm-hmm. And although they like to advance, there's not a single guy here that doesn't want to advance or doesn't think that he can advance. They also understand that 18 are going to go home at the end. And so I think that I don't see quite the nervousness this year that I have in the past. And I think that's a true testament to... Here's what I believe. I think when you try to put on a really good quality event, and United Kennel Club and the local club have done a really good job and have tried extremely hard to get good guides, good judges and stuff to put this hunt on. And I think they're ready for it to get dark.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, hey, I've got some, I want to throw some numbers out here that we had from last night. They're going into tonight. So we still have 22 treeing walkers left, a black and tan and English. That makes up the 24 dogs still left for the breed breakdown. 17 males, 7 females. That's. I'll let you guys touch on some of that. And let's touch on this, I guess, just really quickly. But going into this final 100, it was a lopsided number for males and females, or was it at the regions? But I've seen that so many times at United Kennel at UKC for our bigger events. But it seems every time when we get down to the nitty gritty, they have evened out. Not this year.
Yeah.
No. 17 and 7. Trevor and I talked about it, you know, and I think it was probably the regions. There was a lot more males, but 17 males and 7 females. Kind of surprised.
I think that's just
maybe you guys haven't paid that much attention to it like we have in the last couple of years. But
I don't think I've noticed that figure there, but it's just a testament of probably strength of the dog. You know, our male dogs are just a tad bit stronger than the female dogs, just physically. Not, you know, can stand more hunting. You want a soldier out there from this point on, and I think that's probably what that's showing us.
Yeah. So here I have a state breakdown too, and I'm talking that this breakdown covers the 24 dogs that are still in. Tennessee is leading with 4 dogs still in it. Yeah. We're hunting in Indiana, Western Indiana, 3 from Indiana, Kentucky, and Ohio each. 2 from Florida, Georgia, and Iowa. And Alabama, Illinois, North Carolina, Oklahoma, and Pennsylvania still have one rep in it. That makes up the 24 dogs there. Regional breakdown, Missouri zone or region one has four in it still. Last year, I think, if you guys remember, they had a lot on. They had the biggest number on Friday night.
I believe so, too. I
think we talked about that.
Yeah.
Four this year, so not quite as many. Indiana has seven. Ohio has two. Tennessee, four. Arkansas, four. South Carolina, three. That makes up the 24 dogs statewide. Multiple owners, we only have one with multiple dogs. That's Mr. Ike Rainey and Malcolm Rains from Florida. They have the Wipeout Z and, let me see, the... what's the other dog?
Mad Money.
No one to call. Those two. Yeah.
Sires and dams, we have Willie, world champion Willie. He has two. Money Maxed Out has two, and then that Johnny B. Good dog has two.
And I think Money Maxed Out and Johnny B. Good only had two going in.
They did. I remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have to check on that. But here's the number I think we want to talk about. You mentioned the clubs doing a great job, but last night, Thursday night. Weather was, we thought it was going to be bad. Water's up. The creeks are up, you know, and it's, and windy. 149 coons seen last night. That averaged out to 6.2 per cast. 108 coons scored, and that averages out to 4.5, so 4.5 per cast. And the scoring average of the winners was 370 plus.
Yeah.
That's a good hunt by any standards. And looking at some, I just got to look at some of the cards briefly, and you know, there was a lot of what I noticed last night when I looked at the scores. Now the scores on the computer doesn't necessarily say everything that happened out in the woods, but you can look at a scorecard and kind of see on certain things that went on, and there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of competitive casts. I mean, casts were
close scores.
Listening to different people sharing that, you know, was, you know, necessarily thought they may have it wrapped up, but, you know, had to tree at the very end.
Yeah.
I know I was talking to Sean Burden tonight. He had to tree at the very end and have a coon to win. Had to cast kind of one right out of the truck, and then his another dog clawed himself back in it. And his was treed over there, but, you know, he had to, you know, wasn't going to unless he needed it, but it ended up having to have that coon to win. And I know there was a couple of casts. I know one cast was tied with the first place in the score was tied, and then the third dog in the cast was a quarter behind.
Yeah.
And I think we've all been on them casts. Them casts can be a little tough or whatever. So I just think that I think it just kind of goes back to the field of dogs we have here. You know, I tell you what's really awesome when you come to an area like Greencastle and places like this, when you get a lot of good dogs and you can get them to where the game are moving, it really, really lets dogs showcase their skills, you know, versus if the game's not moving or whatever, it makes it a lot tougher. And I think last night was one of them nights where a lot of these dogs could showcase their skills, you know, and I think, judging by the weather today, tonight, I really look for this to be a... I think there's going to be some I don't know if there will necessarily be any better scores, because I think what you're going to see tonight, and, you know, we hear the age-old saying on, you know, when you get to this level, you know, the scores sure go down. And here's what I'm going to tell you. When you get to this level, you're probably more – and Rick, and I'd love to have you share on this a little bit. The chance – you're probably not going to have as many scoring chances because you're simply scoring other dogs.
Right.
If that makes sense.
I think, you know, we've done a 180 on our weather from last night to tonight, and it started about lunchtime. The clouds started rolling out, and the sun started popping in, and then the wind picked up. You mentioned that, and I checked my phone there a time or two, and there was a 30-mile-an-hour gust at some point here today. But, you know, I'm looking out the window right now, and it's a 180-degree difference.
It is.
Than what it was. And, you know, I'm not very good at predicting what's going to happen at these hunts, at least in the past. But I can't imagine that all the coons that moved in that weather last night will feel like they want to move in this weather tonight. It's clear. It's calm. It's a totally different atmosphere out there. And I don't know. I wouldn't bet a ham sandwich on it, but I would predict that the scores will be a tad bit lower tonight overall.
Yeah, so hey, the matchups tonight, one of the things I love about Friday night is when you briefly touched on it, we call each handler up there, they draw their cast, their own cast.
Yeah.
They draw a number. We've got, you know, four number ones up there, four number twos, and so on, all the way through six. That's just a neat time, and that's the time when you could hear a pin drop.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, but then the result of that draw, man, there's some stacked casts in here, you know. Folks can go to our website and see all that. But is there any certain cast for either one of you that really
four sticks out to me. I Jersey Girl and Lady, and I was hoping that those two would not hunt together tonight, along with a couple others. But the rest of them, you know, that they moved around there to where the four or five that I thought, man, you know, if you were in Vegas, these are the ones you'd bet on. And they stayed away from each other outside of those two right there. And I haven't been, I don't think I've been with Jersey Girl. I've hunted with Lady a time or two. So, you know, those, I think they were first and second in the picks. I believe in the pick five. And so I wanted to see those stay away from each other. Then cast five, you got Doc and Cowboy and War Z and Polly. That's another tough one. But for the most part, I think if we looked at the pick'em five, I think we kind of stayed away from each other except for cast four.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at cast two right now, and you got Style in there and Wipeout Z. You know, Wipeout Z is obviously the winningest dog of all time in our era.
Yeah.
Yep. I think he's getting close to 400,000, and he's won. And obviously Style's been at this game a long time. He's been at the finals of many big hunts, Kenny Suspens' dog. And obviously Waylon's in that cast too. You know, I mean, Rage, I mean, that's a tough cast. I mean, the cast one has Scar in it. He's got J.R. Gray handling him. J.R. Gray knows how to win these world hunts and wrap these deals up, you know. So along with the Blackjack dog, that's a kind of a younger dog off of Bushwhacker that Ricky Bryant's hunting. That dog has put up solid
numbers. Two names right there. You named two handlers, one world hunt.
World hunts. And let's add a third one to that because Color Me Up's in there.
And you got three world champion handlers in that cast right there.
In one cast. You know,
so who's the fourth one?
And the fourth dog is a dog called Nature. And I'm not sure without
Freak of Nature.
So when you start looking at these casts and the matchups and stuff, it's really pretty. I mean, I said the night before they even drew out, I said I there's not going to be an easy cast at all.
No,
we got some incredibly veteran handlers here that know how to get things done. We got some dogs that are very very capable of getting things done. So,
yeah. Last question here. Second to last question. Any dog you're surprised you're not seeing here tonight? Biggest surprise? Anything?
I think we probably expected Jeff to win the first round with Hobo. Is that what you're asking? Who we're not seeing tonight? I think we expected Jeff to win the first round with Hobo, probably. There's a lot of good dogs went home.
But, I know. You know, there's a lot of good dogs that went home, but, you know, Alan, it's a tough question because, you know, I asked a lot of these guys and pulled a lot of information this afternoon. I mean, this is a statistic that's just incredible to me. These dogs have won well over $1 million. I mean, let this sink in. I just did the numbers while we were sitting here. Best I can tell that these 24 dogs, if you averaged out the whole 24, their lifetime earnings are somewhere between $46,000 and $48,000. That would be an average. Let that sink in. I mean, but, you know, obviously the Z-Dog winning $380,000 in a lifetime, close to $400,000, whatever it may be. So, you know, for me, I mean, obviously, you know, really not a surprise for me, the 24 that are here.
I think we started out yesterday, we were talking about Elijah. We're all rooting, at least we were rooting for him.
Oh, yeah.
To get out there and have a good showing, and it didn't happen last night, but that was another one that went home today that we probably would have enjoyed seeing in here.
Yeah, probably for me, if I'm allowed to probably one of mine is Stogie.
He's a world champion.
He's a world champion, you know, and he's a very good hound, you know. But hey, there again, we talked about sometimes a little luck, and sometimes things just do not go your way. And I was talking to Mr. Haskell Myers, who has Millie in here, Great guy. He's in the top 24. Yeah. I don't know if you guys know him or not. But I talked with him a little bit. He had Stogie in his cast last night. He said he just flat got out of pocket.
Yeah.
Flat got out of pocket. And there's one thing, you know, that you when that happens and you've got other dogs hunting close by, what are you going to do? There's nothing
I really believe, Alan and Rick, I really believe you're going to see some of that tonight. I just do. These dogs are too good. You're getting onto the 24. I think you're going to see some of that tonight. I think dogs are just going to split up. There's dogs that are fast enough. They're not going to be able to get in there and settle in and tree the coon that they want to tree, and they're just simply going to move out of pocket.
Yeah. I think the weather will create that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, there's your Friday wrap-up here with our panel here, and you guys are going to be on the live stream here in about 8:30 right now as we're recording this. And here at midnight, you guys are going to be on the panel. You're going to talk more in depth on each one of these casts that we're talking about here that are out tonight. Six of them. They'll come in, and those six cast winners will be recasted tonight to hunt for a total of 90 minutes. Heads up. So that'll be an interesting thing. And after tonight's over, we'll be down to three final dogs.
Yeah.
DOC. So. All right, that's going to be a wrap for today. And tomorrow night, same time, same station, we'll give our thoughts on the final cast.
Very good.
Alan, I know we both have new Daltra Pathfinder 2s. How are you liking yours so far?
I'm liking it. I've even had the opportunity now to use mine where I didn't have service, where I download the map of that area, and it works flawlessly. Love it.
I agree. I really like my Daltra Pathfinder 2 as well. I've used it quite a bit the past few months. I really like the crystal clear maps. I like that it doesn't lose service very much, and I don't have many bad things to say about it at all. Daltra Pathfinder 2, the official GPS collar partner of UKC.
Yeah, there you go. There was Friday night, and there just before they did their first live stream show starting at midnight, and here's the next one you're going to hear is on Saturday, and our part three of our three-part series. Well, here we are, guys. Saturday afternoon now. Man, what a change in the weather! For one, you can't get any more beautiful than this for a spring day.
This is exactly the type of days that we were hoping for all weekend, you know, and this is what we've seen year in and year out here, and scratch away Thursday's bad weather, and this is paradise right here tonight.
It is beautiful. There's no humidity. It's nice, and coming in this afternoon, I actually got the full effect of what we've been used to. I actually took the river road, I guess that's what they call it, coming down through there, and just driving along that river, you know, and just watching that people hanging out on the river, and this afternoon, evening, coming in here, and just looking out through there and thinking to myself, you know, it's just a coon hunter's paradise up through there. So, yeah. For sure, it's going to be an exciting night for sure. Yeah.
No, last night went pretty well. We had a couple of questions come in last night, you know, and we get it, you know, a couple of questions we might think are a little bit, you know, far reaching a little bit, but we get it too, you know, and questions aren't always a bad thing, but. Because of that, it kind of prolonged our program a little bit last night. But your thoughts on last night as far as the program or the live stream goes?
Well, I mean, it was, you know, it was a little
more of a marathon than we wanted it to be.
Than what we wanted it to be. And I'm sure we'll take a look at this for a lot of you viewers that tune into that. One thing that I know we mentioned it a little bit on the show last night and then talked on the podcast is, at the end of whenever we get done with this, and one thing that we love about United Kennel Club and their sponsors and stuff, we always sit down and we kind of look at how this year went. And I'm sure next year when we come back, we'll kind of go off of the feedback that we got from this year. And but you know, one thing about these hunts that you can never control is we had a 2 a.m. deadline last night, if I recall. And I think the last cast come in 10 minutes before. And then we obviously had a question on a card, and that kind of prolonged it. And then
we probably didn't even have an announcement of the winner of that cast until after 2 o'clock.
And after 2 o'clock. And then obviously they go out in the late round, and as the rules say, we have one particular cast that dogs trail in opposite direction, and then they have to gather back up, and they don't recut back loose until 4:31 this morning with an hour left to hunt. So, you know, that's the kind of things we always want a perfect hunt, but we know when we turn these dogs loose, it's not always going to be a perfect scenario. And so I think taking all that in consideration,
It did kind of make it a marathon last night. A lot of fun. Still a lot of fun doing it, but I think we can certainly, we'll look at that, and moving forward, it will be awesome. I look for a really, really awesome finals tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, your thoughts on last night, the program?
Yeah, marathon's how you want to describe it last night. It was different from last year, and it seemed like it drug on a little bit longer because of just how things happen. You know, we'd like for them to all walk in at the same time and not reach the deadline like some of them do, and but it just didn't work out that way. And then, like you said, Steve, there we had those two dogs trail out of here and in opposite directions, and a judge simply cannot judge them. It's time to call time out and gather them back up and restart. And you know, when you're doing something like what we're doing, you don't particularly want to see something like that, but it happened, and we dealt with it, and we rolled right on, and here we are today, just like we knew we would be, with three winners ready to hunt for $100,000.
Yeah, let's talk about those three winners. Freak of Nature, three males, Freak of Nature, Maxed Out Mad Money, calls them out, Heather Island, Wipeout Z. Man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a good final. I grabbed Josh there just for a few minutes there before all this started going down here tonight.
Josh Craig, the handler of Freak of Nature.
Handler of Freak. And we just laughed. We walked out on the deck, and I said, well, here you are. And he said, yeah, here I am. And we just laughed about it. You know, probably nobody but Josh would have picked him. And he actually told me on his way up here, he had talked to Scott Engel on his way up. And Josh don't live too far from them folks. I think he's northeastern Kentucky or something like that. And he said, Josh, Scott told him, just go on up there and win that thing. And he said, I called him this morning, Rick, and he said, he actually sounded surprised that I was in there after he told me to come up here and win it. And I said, yeah. I said, he might not have picked you, maybe. I don't know. But I wanted to get a little more information out of him, but we could not quit laughing about here he is hunting for $50,000 first place, you know, and he knocked out some tough stuff last night.
You ain't both, yeah, I mean, absolutely.
He knocked out the cream of the crop there last night as well, and you know, he's down to earth guy. Speaks probably only about whenever he gets spoken to, but my gosh, now he's enjoying being where he's at right now, and I love to see that. I love to see it. You know,
his wife and kids came up this afternoon.
Yeah. I don't want to say old hat, but I'll say it's old hat for these other two guys and the dog power that they're packing. You know, it's no surprise that they're here, but to see Josh here, it's awesome. Yeah. It is absolutely awesome.
We had some snacks and everything, some food and drinks here this afternoon here. And I sat at their table with his wife and kids, and his wife is telling me that one of the daughters, 16 years old, she's here, her and her 12-year-old brother. But she asked, how much are we hunting for? And she said, well, how much do you think? She said, $200, maybe.
You know, I think we can all agree to this. I know we've mentioned it a few times, but I think we can all agree with this, that when the TOC was started many years ago and this concept come about, it was all our dream, I think, that that we have incidents like this. And I'm not saying Josh, he's not a stranger to competition and stuff. But I'm gonna be honest with you, Freak of Nature obviously is probably not as well known, and I guess you could dub him as the dark horse of this. Yeah. He obviously wasn't really on anybody's radar to come and win this thing, and to see him in the final three is just outstanding. I'm excited for him. And it wouldn't shock me, I'm gonna tell you something, it wouldn't shock me one bit. I don't think any of us, if he went out and won this thing late.
Yeah.
Now, I will tell you this, he'll have his work cut out. I mean, you have to understand, you know, you have Z in the cast tonight, and obviously out, you know, Dustin is handling out, and he probably knows Z. Oliver shared with me this afternoon. He said, the only thing I can tell you is, he said, there's a guy that's going to be handling another dog in this cast that knows him a whole lot better than me. So It's with that being said, you know, it's going to be kind of interesting to see how this plays out. I can guarantee you, from what I know of Oliver, from what I know of Dustin, and I don't know a lot about Josh, but I guarantee you when that clock starts, they're going to be out there trying to win that cast with what they're packing at the end of their lead
strip. Yeah.
You know, so it's not, I don't see it. I know Dustin, Weed well enough. I've hunted with him against him many times. His mindset going into this tonight is he feels and knows that he's got dog power enough to win this, and there's not going to be any sentimental ties to him wanting Z to go out and win it. Yeah. I guess it pretty much is in sharing that side.
It's going to be 100% focus out of those three guys.
Oh, yeah.
There's not going to be anything else. When they cut those dogs loose, it's going to be for 2 hours. It's going to be 100% focus. And you can just see it in their eyes around here. Tonight, you know, we got the all-time money-winning dog out there.
Of all time.
Of all time. That, you know, the record, when will that record ever be broke? And then the same thing, we got the all-time money-winning handler out there. And
two different teams.
Yeah, on two different teams. And it's just amazing how this has come together, but not surprising.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we had the chance to sit down. I interviewed two of the three on the podcast here. I did Dustin and Oliver. Dustin Weed and Oliver Wynn, both of those, but yeah, I asked Dustin quite, you know, if he feels that gives him an advantage, or if he has any strategies, you know, to work with. But the one thing he said, he knows he has faith in his dog, but he knows he can't make any mistakes. And as long as he stays in pocket, and he feels he has a good chance, but he knows he can't. There's not going to be any forgiveness there.
Yeah, no doubt. They're not going to be able to make a comeback tonight.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening. For one guy to get down and to come back and beat two other guys, I'm thinking that probably will not happen. When they get down, they're probably going to stay down because of the quality of the dogs and the type of handlers we got out there.
Well, and I think we've seen that with last night. I mean, if you looked at a lot of them scores, you know, it when you get to this level, when you get to last night's two rounds and tonight's round, a minus point is a grave.
Yeah,
really,
yeah.
And it's really hard to come back.
Yeah,
really hard.
Well, folks can certainly go back and watch the YouTube play by plays from the Friday night events that you guys spoke about, and as well as the finals here. And please do go check that out. Make sure you watch that. And but just an overall overview of the 2024 TOC. Exciting 3 days again. A little different than before, but nevertheless.
It was better than last year, and it was better than the year before, and it just keeps getting a little bit better. The tweaks and the changes that get made typically are a big plus. I think Thursday night was probably the biggest crowd I've seen here. I think probably that was the first time we, not everybody got fed, but we didn't get to eat twice. And so that was a testament there that we had more folks here on Thursday night. And it was the worst weather night we've had in years. And I was glad to see that. Friday looked pretty good as well as far as the number of people that were here. We're drawing a bigger crowd here. We're drawing a bigger spectator crowd as well. You see these guys walk in, and I want to go back to Ed Bates. There's an entourage comes in with them. And there's an entourage with several of the teams that come in. There's four, five, six.
Yeah.
You know, the first thing Ed and I chat for a minute, he says, "Hey, we're short a few chairs at our table." and I said, "Well, you need to quit driving your bus in here, you know." But
I think
growing.
That's what we want.
Yeah, it is. It's what you want.
And to that, to your point, Rick, great point. I believe now. That the prestige of this hunt has grew to where I believe that the best, the absolute best of the best in the country, period, are competing to get here. If you look at what's going on around us and all registries and all competitions and all your invitationals, the best of the best are competing to get here, and it's a dream. It's a dream come true for a lot of us that have been involved with this thing from the conception of it, you know, the idea of it coming up. Our dream was to have a mixture of that person that could, that backyard guy that just wanted to have that one chance at fame to be able to come, but we also would have the best of the best. And if they come here and they could compete against that field on a manageable, something that they could manage to come and compete in finance wise, that it would get to what it actually, and I think this year, the fourth year into the TOC, that finally was accomplished. Yeah. And just to see the quality of hounds here, a lot of people said it. They wouldn't know where they would go to get a better crop of dogs here that competed on the regional level and this level. There really was none left out.
Yeah.
You know, and that's huge to me.
Yeah. Well, hey, I think let's that should kind of wrap it up for us. I appreciate you guys doing this with me here this week at the TOC, and
I appreciate the opportunity, Alan. I really appreciate it, and I enjoy working with the guys. I give them a hard time, but man, it's just an awesome feeling when you pull in here and start it out on Thursday evening. It's great.
Well, same.
Same here. I tell you, I look forward to it. You know, as I've gotten older, I've learned to appreciate things like moments like this a little more. And I don't know, it's just something about a month leading up to this, it starts dominating my thought process a little bit on just the anticipation, who's going to be there. And it's special. We are part of something special in an era, you know, this is a whole new journey for a lot of us. So for a lot of folks, please forgive us if we make mistakes. We're just human.
Yeah.
We're just folks that we enjoy the sport. And to be able to share this with a lot of you guys on the social media platform, I guess you could say, is a dream come true for a lot of us. And it's a lot of fun to be a part of it. And it's an honor to be able to, for me, to be able to do this twice a year. Don't take it lightly. And certainly am very appreciated on it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, I certainly appreciate you guys helping out with it and everything you guys do for it. So, hey, folks, get your dogs qualified. 5 cast wins this year in 2024. We'll get you qualified for the 2025 Tournament of Champions. So you can be here. $150 entry fee, hunting for $50,000 to win, $30,000 for second, $20,000 for third.
Yeah.
Wow. So, all right. Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
Yeah, so there you go. That was the last one we did. We sat out on Saturday, sat out on the back patio there at the Three Fat Labs. Man, not a cloud in the sky. It had to be close to 72, 73, 4 degrees. Just a perfect day. And that's a great place to sit on that back patio and do podcasts, isn't it?
That's right. It's a good place to sit back there and brainstorm. And we did all our podcasts out there, all our recording back there on that back deck on Saturday.
Yeah.
Kind of just makes you feel more comfortable than being huddled up in the table inside with a bunch of people around, and you're just out there free flowing, throwing ideas. And when you get three people who are kind of invested in something, you can have a pretty good conversation.
Yeah, we'll just throw a teaser out here. One of them that we did was with some of the reps that were there, just kind of did a round table on rule stuff that hopefully we'll get to hear here in the near future, not too, you know, it'll air at some point, you know, that we did out there on that back deck. But anyways, I want to thank Steve Burkle or Rick Stretch for everything that they do for us here. And they put in a lot of effort. You know, we rely on the knowledge that they have, and they use that knowledge they have and as from both inside and outside, you know. And then they also do their homework. You know, what they don't know, that we give them a lot of data. But there's a whole lot more to it than that. And part of that is going and actually talking to the hunters involved, talking to the owners. They do a lot of that. They take it seriously, and they do a great job. And we appreciate them. So that said, we'll wrap up this episode and hope you enjoyed this little three-part series. And we'll see you again on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the UKC Hunting Ops podcast. Be sure to give us a follow so you don't miss any of our new episodes or content.